Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text I've chosen for today is Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 18. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So far the text. Whenever I think of the Pharisee in this parable, I'm reminded of something that George Costanza said on Seinfeld. And it was one of my favorite episodes where they're all going to the hospital to visit a friend. And, of course, all of them make it except Kramer, who ends up on a different floor and ends up in the wrong hospital room. He pulls the curtain back and starts screaming, it's a pig man. Okay? It turns out it was just kind of a chubby mental patient that he helps escape later, but he's convinced that the military are breeding a race of half-pig, half-men to fight in our wars. Later on, the rest of the group is talking about his theory, and George says, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple pig men walking around on the streets. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he says, well, you know, you get a couple pig men out there, and I'm going to start looking pretty good, right? Yeah, I mean, I'll be dating a girl, and she said, well, he wasn't the best, but he certainly isn't a pig man. Now, that's exactly how we tend to view ourselves in relation to others. Okay, we compare and contrast to our favor. I even saw that when I was at the seminary using the Kennedy Evangelism Program. You know, the one where you say, if you die tonight, you know, will you make it to heaven? And then I think the next question was, okay, let's say you get to heaven and Jesus meets you at the door. What are you going to say if he says, why should I let you in? Now, the times I use that, I never once heard the right answer. Okay? Not that this is ever going to happen. It's not going to happen like that, but, you know. The right answer is because you died for me, and Jesus says, all right. This is what I always heard. Well, I've lived a pretty good life, and I'm certainly better than others. We want to compare and contrast to make ourselves look better. That's exactly what we see in this text. This text is seen in the backdrop of prayer. Now, prayer in the West, at least as most of us think of it, is something that's very private. Now, as a Lutheran pastor, I pray publicly all the time, but my real important prayers, I do by myself. Now, for the Jewish people, that would have been a foreign concept. They would have never prayed like that. For them, prayer was very public, and it was done corporately. And as you can see, this is taking place in the temples, which is incredibly public. Now, there are two times in the temple where people would gather to pray. One was in the morning, one was in the late afternoon. This is when the atonement sacrifice would be made for the people. So a priest would sacrifice a lamb on the altar, and then he'd go into the temple and offer an incense sacrifice right in front of the Holy of Holies. So if you want to picture this happening, Zechariah was doing just this when Gabriel came to him and said, you're going to have a son and name him John Baptist. So that's what's taking place here. Okay? A sacrifice is being made. They believe when that happens, the doors to heaven are opened, and then when the incense is offered, the people's prayers will go up into heaven to God with the incense. So this is the scene, and there are two men who are pointed out as praying. Two very different men. One's a Pharisee, one's a tax collector. Now, the Pharisees had a separate name for themselves. In Hebrew, it was the Habarim, which means the club, or I like the other meaning, the association. Doesn't that sound cool? You know, it's like the mafia or something, right? But part of the association, or the club, and it was a club of righteousness. And if you want to stay in that club, guess who you have to avoid? People who aren't righteous. In this text, it says, this translation doesn't really give credit to what's really being said, because in the translation it says he prayed by himself. It sounds like he's praying privately. No, that's not really what's happening. It says he went off by himself away from everyone else in the temple so that he could pray out loud. Why? because they're sinners. He can't come into contact with them. Then he begins his prayer. Of course, it's not a prayer at all. Jewish prayers back then would have to have praise and thanksgiving, and then you'd ask for the things you need. He doesn't do any of those things. He never really praises and thanks God. He's too busy praising and thanking himself. And guess what? He doesn't need anything from God because he has it all. So it's not really a prayer, but he starts it off anyway, and he immediately targets the tax collector with the words he uses. Thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust. That describes a tax collector perfectly. Adulterer, I don't know where he got that one from, but you might as well throw it in. And so he certainly sees the tax collector, he knows the tax collector, and he knows who he is. Pharisees would have called these people the Yom Haaretz, and that is a fancy way of saying the people of the earth. A less fancy way is dirt people, dirty people. Could even say pig man, right? That's who tax collectors were, and he is to be avoided. That's the first part of his so-called prayer. The second part is actually a sermon. It's a sermon to everybody who's listening to him, and it's about righteousness, and guess what? He is the sermon illustration on how to be righteous. He uses two things as an example, his tithing and his fasting. An ordinary Jew would tithe 10% of three things, wine, grain, and oil, olive oil. He tithes everything. A normal Jew would have fasted on one day in the entire year, the Day of Atonement. If you're really good, you'd probably do it seven times. He does it 104 times a year. So it's very clear from his supposed prayer that he knows exactly who he is, exactly who the tax collector is, and what his relationship is to God because of this comparison. Of course, he's absolutely wrong about everything. And now we look at the tax collector. Just like the Pharisee, the tax collector stood apart from everyone else, not because he was worthy and everyone else was worthless, but the opposite, because he knew he was unworthy. He had not only isolated himself from others, but others had isolated him as well. He was humbled. Now, sometimes being humbled is a good thing. It's a learning process. A lot of times it can be very, very unhealthy. I mentioned this a number of years ago, I think, and I still think about this from time to time. I was just a really little kid, and I got invited to a birthday party. Little girl I didn't really know that well, and I was new to the school, and I was all excited. I got her a birthday present. My mom drove me over there. I walked in the kitchen. She left, by the way, my mom. I walked in the kitchen. Little girl came walking out, pointed her stubby little finger at me. I can still picture it. Looked at her mom and said, "Not that Ted." There's another Ted in my class. "Not this one." Took me a long time to go to birthday parties after that, let me tell you. That was a rough one. Another one was my first day of school at my new school in Virginia in the eighth grade. I just prayed to God. Prayed, "Please, God, just have everyone leave me alone today. Make me invisible. I don't want anyone to talk to me." I got all the way to my last class, English. I can still picture where I was sitting. And I was just saying, "Pray, oh God, you know, it's been 6-7 hours, just one more hour." And then the guy, kid sitting in front of me turned around and he said, "Hey, that's a nice shirt." And I was like, it was like giving a crumb of bread to a starving man. I was like, "Thank you." And he says, "Yeah, I used to have a shirt like that. Then my dad got a job." The entire class exploded in laughter and I just turned red. I felt so isolated and hurt. Later, I did find a chance to express my displeasure to this student, and the good news is I got the next week off of school. Okay, I'm sure it's a thing he's never forgotten either, but I've never forgotten. And that's when you're being isolated in a very unhealthy, painful way. And that's what it was with this tax collector. He was completely isolated. And in that isolation, he called out to the God that he loved and that he knew loved him. And he said, "Have mercy on me." But literally what he's saying is, "Make an atonement for me." He's referring to everything that's happened around him in the temple. The sacrifice that he's seen, the incense that he can smell, the psalms of praise that he's hearing singing. He's saying to God, "Make all of these part of me. May the atonement sacrifice be for me. May the incense be for me. May I sing songs of praise. And then both men go home. The tax collector justified, the Pharisee unjustified. The tax collector was justified because he realized in his isolation there was only one he could turn to, and it certainly wasn't himself. And he prayed that God would make an atonement for him. And that's what we pray every time we come together, every time we confess our sins, every time we receive the Lord's Supper. We're praying that the Lord make an atonement for us as well. In faith we pray that, and in faith we know it's come true in Jesus Christ. That by his life, death, and resurrection, he has saved us. He has made us his children. And now in faith we realize that we can't make ourselves righteous, but in grace he made us righteous, who only knew sin. I thank God this Reformation Sunday that we see such a clear example of the good news that Martin Luther was trying to share with those around him. A good news that set him free. That his salvation was only due to faith in this Savior Jesus Christ. Luther celebrated, and we do too, because the Lord has, in Christ, made an atonement for us. In Jesus' name, amen.